from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
the Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill.
Here, Joe Butcher,
boy,
Shasky. You're listening to 95.7
The Game, the morning roast.
Oh, we're so back. No Bonte Hill. He's on assignment. Joe Spadoni in alongside the great Joe Shasky. And we got some news, ladies and gentlemen, around the NFL, because, you know what, it's officially NFL time. I'm not worried about baseball. I'm not worried about the San Francisco Giants right now. They take on the Milwaukee Brew Crew here for a 3-game set, but I'm not worried about that.
Name three brewers.
Yeah, you guys were talking about that in the chat yesterday, you and Big Boss Man. It's like, oh, Paul Molitor and Robin Yount. I mean, like, yeah, those guys. I've definitely seen them play. Yeah, I know the names, and you know, that does nothing for me. I really hurt Matt and you when I said that. It's like, who are those people?
Paul Molitor was such a badass. And Robin Yount, shortstop, center fielder, elite.
Yeah.
Elite.
It's great.
Oh, my God, I hate you.
But CeeDee Lamb, Joe Shasky, he's also great. And he just signed a fat contract with the Dallas Cowboys. Obviously a part of that draft class alongside Brandon Ayuk. You had the names like Jerry Jeudy in there. Obviously Henry Ruggs. Justin Jefferson. A lot of big names there. But CeeDee gets that deal. 4-year, $136 million contract, $38 million signing bonus, and 100 of that is guaranteed. Joe Shasky, your initial thoughts when you saw that and how it pertains to one Brandon Ayuk?
Well, you know, my initial thoughts were CeeDee Lamb is very important to what Dallas wants to do. That's my initial thing. And he got a lot of money because he is the focal point of that offense. If you want to move the ball, it's Dak, then it's CD. That's literally it for that team. Look at their running back situation. We all just did. If you haven't, you're doing it currently. Your fantasy draft is coming up. There's nobody in the backfield for the Dallas Cowboys for you to select.
You got Zeke, though, you said.
Yeah, like a 13th round or whatever. Jesus. Like, at that point, you're just taking flyers. I mean, you're blindly throwing, dude. But, and it's also a non-online draft, so you don't get to see everything. You got to kind of pick.
Oh, that's weird. I've never been one of those.
Oh, well, yeah. Live is live, bro.
Yeah, okay. Oh, in-person draft. Uh-huh. Oh, okay, never mind. Okay, I got you. I thought you were saying it was like offline draft. I was like, that's very fascinating.
So, like, we could argue till we're blue in the face about, like, Ayuk is more efficient than CeeDee Lamb. In terms of hierarchy for their individual teams, it's really not a debate. Like, the offense flows through CeeDee Lamb in Dallas.
Come on, if you poll it nationally, how many people are taking Brandon Ayuk? Like, it's just 100 people. How many people are 30?
I don't know.
Come on.
But
we have to have this conversation because when you start comparing yourself to your peers, like, Ayuk comes up a little smaller against the likes of CeeDee Lamb and the likes of Justin Jefferson.
Well, CeeDee's going up against bracketed coverages, and he is, when you are going up against the defense, for example, if Nick Sorensen was going to devise a scheme to beat the Cowboys this week, who's the first guy circling?
CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah. Right? When you're facing the Niners, and this isn't a knock on Brandon Ayuk, it's a byproduct of how awesome the Niners are. When you go to the Niners, you're like, yeah, we got to stop. This guy. Yes. And somewhere in there, 2, 3, 4, depending on the week, is Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah.
And I look at these guys in the top, right? And I'm looking at total guaranteed money, and I'm looking at AAV. Yeah. And we know that it's about the guarantees. And then it's also, to a lesser degree, like, what's the annual value? And then how much does it hit your cap, percentage-wise, in any given year? Justin Jefferson, number one, $110 million guaranteed. CeeDee Lamb, number two now, at $100 million. Then there's a $16 million drop-off till you get to A.J. Brown, number three, making $84 million. Yeah. I don't think that Brandon Ayuk comes anywhere near the $84 to $110 million that those guys have gotten. I don't think he deserves it, and I don't think the Niners have enough money to be able to give it to him, nor do I think it's a smart business decision based on how they want to play football.
Do you think this does affect the contract talks at all? Because we know we've been talking about dragging the feet, the 49ers, oh, they could have nipped this in the bud early. You know, you saw the Jefferson contract, you saw A.J. Brown or Devontae Smith, A.J. Brown, all these different ones, and now you get CeeDee Lamb, obviously, who, again, was a part of that draft class. Like, you're seeing it now. Like, do you believe this affects it at all in Ayuk's camp? Do you, like,
I think Ayuk thinks that maybe his number goes up a little, but I think the number is the number. The Niners, this is the other thing
that's what I'm saying. Yeah,
I keep coming back to it. Like, look, you've got a pot of money, all right? Whatever that amount is, you have a pot of money. It's how you want to spend it. And I think that what is happening right now in the NFL, if you just look around, right? The market for wide receivers is astronomical. It reminds me of the housing market during COVID. I mean, we could argue about what you determine to be good value, what I determine to be good value. But I know this. There are two teams in particular that are trying to thread the needle right now in the NFL.
Mm.
It's the Eagles and the Dolphins. And what I mean by that is they basically have 45% of their cap soaked up into three players. Quarterback and two wide receivers. Quarterback and two wide receivers. The Eagles have 23% of their cap this year with Jalen Hurts. And then another 25%, give or take, in A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. We will see if that works as a business model for creating a team. It's how you want to spend the money. So you're looking at basically half the cap, give or take, is going to quarterback, two wide receivers. Then I look at the Dolphins, and the Dolphins are doing the same thing. Tua, who hasn't gotten the big extension kicking in now, he's making 21% of the cap. And then Tyreek and Jalen Waddle are making another 23% of the cap. So you're looking at, again, about 45% of the cap for the entire team is going to quarterback and two wide receivers. So I ask 49er fans, and we know it's only for 1 year because somebody's probably gone next year. When you have a quarterback making less than half of a percent of the overall salary cap, which is Brock Purdy right now, you know the time to win is now.
Mm-hmm.
Because the second he starts getting paid, you can't afford, maybe not for next year, but at some point down the line, you can't afford all these guys. You can't have Bosa make it 15% of the cap, and Warner make it 10% of the cap, and Debo make it 12% of the cap, and Trent make it 13% of the cap, and Kittle make it 7.5%, and CMC make it 7.5%. It's how you want to allocate the funds. So you're asking me, does the CeeDee Lamb contract or number affect the 49ers and Brandon Ayuk? I think it makes Ayuk say, I deserve more. I think the 49ers are sitting here saying, no, we have a structure. They've probably gone over whatever their budget was. And I think that they're saying the same thing I'm saying right now. Is it smart to put together one quarter of our cap into two wide receivers when we don't even throw the ball to start off the game?
That's been the conversation, right? It's just, I just want it to be over. When is he going to sign? Is he going to sign? I know Albert Breer, Sports Illustrated, was saying last week in his mailbag, he's like, he expects it to be Labor Day weekend. Well, that's approaching him and Trent Williams. We'll see. Steiny hit us up in the thread yesterday because I'm in, obviously, a couple of different show threads.
What's Steiny say?
According to Steiny, he had his own sources saying, you know what? He's like, oh, don't worry. Ayuk and Trent, it's going to be fine. It's like, okay, Steiny.
Well, I mean, I hope. Okay. It's getting to the point now where, I mean, we're hitting the inflection point of you're now kind of messing with the vibe, the not just the vibes, but just the overall productivity come week one.
I mean, it's already kind of been messed up, right? Like, do you expect Brandon Ayuk, if he signs this next weekend, to just all of a sudden just have all the unlimited snaps he wants week one against the Jets? I have a very hard time believing that. Right? Like,
that's
Trent Williams,
question.
I know Bosa came in and said, Baldy came in and said, and by the way, Brian Baldinger, 7:30 today, Baldy's every single Tuesday on the morning roast, courtesy of the River Islands guest line. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? And by the way, this segment is brought to you by Golden State, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com, Joe Shasky. But Baldy was in last week basically saying, you know what? Trent can show up and he'll be fine. Like, he's been a part of this. But for wide receivers, I feel like it's a little bit different. You got to get that timing. Mm-hmm. You got to get that rhythm with your quarterback. You haven't been doing that.
Don't you worry about soft tissue injuries too?
Yes.
I mean,
you're playing a guy in week one that played a couple snaps and the season was over.
I know.
And Aaron Rodgers, and he was, you know, he never had a soft tissue injury. I mean, that significant before that, and I get it. It was on turf. It was on the East Coast. Different circumstances. But yes, that worries me because I feel like I see that every single year, whether it's a defensive player, whether it's an offensive player, someone holding out, and then all of a sudden, game one or two, it's just, oh, their season's over. Because they weren't there to get the reps and get their bodies in shape. Bosa was talking about it last year. Getting your body.
Yeah.
Campaign coming off a DPOY season was underwhelming last year. Just because we saw what he could do and what he didn't do last year was disappointing. Now, he still had a hell of a year in comparison to the rest of the league. But Bosa's standards, it was lower. And I am worried about Brandon Ayuk if and when he does sign with San Francisco, how that's going to linger on throughout the season and with this offense. Because, right, it's go time, man. You're the best team in the NFC right now, according to Vegas. And you know you don't have your starting left tackle and you have your best wide receiver. It's where we're at right now.
I know. And
2 weeks before, less than 2 weeks before the season starts, Joe Shasky.
Well, you know, everybody's like, you know, the whole pocket watch term has driven me insane.
I don't care about
that. But this is what it is now. Everyone's like, well, this guy got that, and I need to get this, and I need to get this. It's like, I'm looking at Devontae. He got $66 million guaranteed, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Is Devontae out here like, I need to get broken off now, new money, because everybody else has got new money? I think we're reaching the point where I think the Niners have one of two options. Either they just remove Ayuk from the situation, or they tell him, we're either giving you this and you take it or leave it and you play on your fifth year option. And then you run the risk of introducing that to the locker room and seeing what ends up happening and playing the game of chicken where you say, hey, you want to sit out the six games? Because I believe you can miss up to six games and still accrue if you showed up after the six game, you know, hold out and accrue an entire year, and then you'd be able to hit free agency. You do have the franchise tag in your back pocket, mm-hmm. right? Like, I know teams don't want to go that route. It's not as player friendly. I get it. It's team friendly. And I don't want to just cape up for the team at every single turn, but the reality is that I just don't. I've been asking this out loud. Like, I like Ayuk. I want Ayuk. I would love to have him on the team. I think it's much harder to be in the NFC Championship game or win the Super Bowl without Brandon Ayuk. But at the same time, because you gave Deebo the money, I mean, all the other stuff that you got going on financially, I don't think it's a great investment for this Niner team with Shanahan as a coach to give 25% of the cap to two wide receivers. I just don't.
Well, you just look at the best teams of the last, what, two decades. I'm just going to go Patriots with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, and I'll go Kansas City Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. Two best teams, I'd say, in the last century, correct?
Yeah.
I don't think anyone's going to argue that.
Yeah.
How did they allocate their resources, Joe Shasky?
Quarterback, tight end.
There you go.
And then eventually they found like their little slot receivers.
But they would spread it all around.
Yes.
Offensive line, if I need someone. But defensively, look, that's what won Kansas City the Super Bowl last year.
Yeah.
Mahomes and Kelsey were special when it mattered, but the defense was keeping them in that game for the most part. Like, they were making mm-hmm. the plays. It was a defensive struggle from both sides last year, and they revamped everything. Because when they first came into being, Mahomes and Andy Reid and stuff like that, it was just an offensive explosion, but their defense was horrible.
Yeah.
And they had to kind of re-landscape their whole thing. Obviously, the Honey Badger and stuff like that. So, and then they ended up beating the 49ers in that first iteration of the Super Bowl against Jimmy Garoppolo, and their defense was much improved there. And then so much so, they just said, you know what, let's go all in on the defensive side. I think we could win just with Kelsey. We'll have MVS. We'll draft this kid, Rashee Rice, and we'll see what happens. We got Pacheco. We got, you know, lucky to have him in the seventh round out of Rutgers, and the rest is history, and they've won three Super Bowls since then. So it's how you allocate the resources right now, and this is why it's so damn exciting this season for me to watch this team. It's going to be so fascinating because Brock Purdy, we are going to be having him under a microscope here in the Bay Area, Joe Shasky. Unlike anything I think we've ever seen before for a quarterback, because this contract is looming. Jimmy Garoppolo, it was five games, and it's just like, oh, you know what? We need to pay someone, right? We need to have a quarterback, right?
Their finances were very different than what they are now.
Very different. And expectations were very different.
Yeah, totally.
Expectations for this team is a Super Bowl this year. And if they even get to the playoffs, conference championship, he's going to be the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. And how does that change how you view this team going forward? Like,
it just makes it harder to build the team. Can we acknowledge that?
Yes.
It makes it harder to build the team.
He's not going to take a discount. Well, I just don't believe he's going to do that.
I look at what Buffalo is doing. Now that the Josh Allen contract has hit their books, they've shed playmakers. They let Gabe Davis go. They let Stephon Diggs go, right?
And they drafted a rookie.
And they drafted rookies, right? You know what I mean? When the Patrick Mahomes contract came through, they knew. It was like, all right, we can't keep this trio together, Kelce Hill and Patrick Mahomes. We need to spread the money out all over the board. And they used it some on defense, and they used that draft capital to go get more wide receivers.
And they
spread their money differently.
Correct. Creed Humphreys, they just re-signed the center, highest paid center in the NFL now. But they realize I need to keep Patrick Mahomes upright.
Exactly.
That is somewhere we can splurge and can afford to do so.
Exactly. And so, like, as much as it is about Brock Purdy, and I hear you, I think it's as much also about the front office and their ability to reload and retool and restock. And that's why I feel really good about where we're at here. I think Purdy's going to be successful for, you know, a while. Like, is he going to be the best quarterback in the league? No, I don't. That's Mahomes. That's his mantle. All right. But you're going to win a lot of games with Brock Purdy if you do what you did this year, which is draft a bunch of guys who are plug-and-play starters. Dominic Pooney's going to be a plug-and-play starter. Renardo Green is going to replace one of the Charvarius Ward or D'Amon or Lenore, whoever walks, because you can't afford everyone, right? Like, this is not just about Brandon Ayuk this year. Aaron Banks is up for a contract. Who knows what happens with Dre Greenlaw? He's returning from an injury. He's kind of in the final year of a deal here, essentially, because a lot of the money that's guaranteed to him goes off the books. Deebo Samuel, a lot of his money goes off the books at some point. He's kind of in the final year of a contract right now. There's a lot of guys that have their hands up. Talanoa Hufanga is going to be a free agent. You can extend that guy at some point because he's a late-round pick. You don't have his fifth-year option like you do for a first-rounder. So Ayuk is not the only guy on this team in the final year of a contract fighting for more guaranteed dollars.
A lot of question marks this season. We'll see what gets answered here. And then obviously 7:30 again. Brian Baldinger, 7:30. We got five questions today, Joe Shasky. What's burning here on a Tuesday? Rome, it's burning. Five questions that I really want to get into. We're going to do that in the 7 o'clock hour. We're going to ask Baldy. I'm going to ask you. You're going to ask me. We're going to ask the fans today. But five major questions facing the San Francisco 49ers this upcoming season. And football season is upon us, Joe Shasky, which means it's time for the Red and Gold Summit. I'm excited for this one. Join us Wednesday, September 4th at Fremont Bank in Fremont. The address is 39150 Fremont Boulevard. Willard and Dids will get things started at 2 to 4. The rest of the hosts will join from 4 to 6 to talk about the biggest storylines surrounding the 49ers at the start of the season. You can come and watch as well. Space is limited. First come, first serve. Man, we're rolling here. CeeDee Lamb, again, if you're just joining us and if you've been under a rock, $136 million contract signed for 4 years with the Dallas Cowboys, $38 million signing bonus, and $100 million guaranteed. How does that affect Brandon Ayuk? Does it at all? Again, we'll ask Baldy, 7:30 on the River Islands guest line. Cannot wait for that. This segment was sponsored by Express Employment Professionals. And coming up on the other side, more 49ers talk. Less than 2 weeks away, ladies and gentlemen, from the start of the regular season. Jets, Niners, cannot wait. 888-957-9570. That's the number to get involved on 95.7 The Game.
What's going on, Roasters? It's Brian Baldinger with the NFL Network, and you're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte and Shasky. 95.7 Game.
Spadoni in for Bonte Hill alongside Joe Shasky here on the Morning Roast. Bonte living it up on the East Coast. Getting some nice R&R. Thank you, Baldy. Baldy joining us at 7:30 today right here on the Morning Roast, courtesy of the River Islands guest line. We love some Baldy. He was in studio for 4 hours last week. You can find that entire show on YouTube or on the free Odyssey app. Download that. And you can also find Garlic Fries and Baseball Guys podcast there as well. The one podcast you need to be listening to for all your Giants talk needs. Sam Lubman, Joe Shasky will bring you the best damn Giants talk in the Bay Area, no matter what happens the rest of the season, good or bad. Subscribe today wherever you listen to podcasts. And the Brew Crew, obviously, taking on the Giants today at the American Family Field out in Wisconsin. Shout out T-Pain. Logan Webb v. Tobias Myers, Joe Shasky. Tobias Myers has been a great pitcher this year.
You know, I was thinking about this. There are times in life where sometimes things just happen and interests don't align and deals don't get made.
Yeah.
Right. Think about it. Like, you know, you're trying to sell your house or trying to buy a house. And for whatever reason, you put in a bid and maybe some sort of an offer sheet. And even though you might be $5,000 or $10,000 more than the other one, they went in a different direction. For whatever reason, X, Y, and Z. I've seen it happen. It's rare, but it does happen. You see this happen a lot with couples. You know, people just grow apart. And their
50% of American marriages end in divorce.
Right? For the first their interests don't align anymore. And
happens.
You know, I've seen people that have been married for 30, 40 years, and all of a sudden, just out of the blue, like, they just completely grow apart. You're like, wow, didn't realize that. And sometimes there's really no, like, bad person.
No.
Like, I know we always want to look for someone to blame in these situations. Like, do I think Ayuk has handled everything properly? No. Do I think the Niners have handled everything properly? No, I don't. I think both parties have made mistakes in this case. But Joe, I look at this and I go, do their interests currently align? Because that's when a deal gets made. When someone says, I'll take a little off here and I'll take a little off here, and there's a concession made on either side, and then you meet in the middle. And I don't know if that's able to happen right now. The Niners' interests are, we are trying to win a Super Bowl right now. We are trying to keep all of our best players, knowing we're probably not going to be able to, because we're really good at developing players. And there's a lot of guys that have their hands out right now, rightfully. And then Ayuk is like, hey, I want to make the most possible. Right? And I get that. The question now becomes, can they meet in the middle, or has that already passed?
I'm just really trying to understand, because we have so many different insiders, so many different people, all these, like, what is the holdup here? I don't know what it is. Is it, I want 30 average annual over 29? Is it, I want an extra 4th or 5th year? Like, is it the years? I don't know. Like, is it the signing bonus? Is it the guarantee net signing money where if they don't have enough? I'm really trying to understand what it is here. And obviously, everything will get leaked out once it happens, if he gets traded, if he doesn't. Speaking of that, because we haven't really been talking about the likelihood of him getting traded ever since, like, you know, Andrew Filippone, who's obviously a host over at our sister station out in Pittsburgh. He joined you guys. He talked about it. He tripled down that he still thinks that Ayuk is going to be a Steeler before the regular season starts. But here's David Lombardi, who does cover the 49ers for The Athletic, joining Willard and Dibbs yesterday. Here he is talking about on if a trade of Brandon Ayuk is still possible.
I haven't heard anything ruled out by the 49ers. They, every single bit of messaging, and this has been publicly, even in a press conference from the team, is that everything is still on the table. I just think that when we look at situation, you know, rationally from, okay, what's best for the 49ers, both in the short term and the long term, but while also emphasizing that the short term has probably outsized importance right now for the team because they're trying to win the Super Bowl this year, just given the context of everything that's happened in the past 5 years, it seems to me that the best possible solution for the 49ers would be to re-sign Brandon Ayuk and get after it. Now, I think that there's an argument to be made that's the best possible solution for Brandon Ayuk as well. But the question is that what's the happy spot financially? And then are there, you know, hurt feelings to smooth over? Because it obviously hasn't been the smoothest negotiation.
So again, what's the number? Guaranteed, total guarantees of all these wide receivers. Here's the top five. Justin Jefferson, $110 million. He's not getting that. CeeDee Lamb, $100 million guaranteed. I don't think he's getting that. Now we get into the area where I think this is more Brandon Ayuk. You can split the difference here.
Maybe. He's about the
AJ Brown,
yeah.
$84 million. DJ Moore, yeah. $81 million. Amon-Ra St. Brown, $77 million. And they got Jalen Waddle, who I do. Brandon Ayuk is better than Jalen Waddle, $76 million. Cooper Kupp, $75 million. Somewhere in that, you know, 80, 85, hell,
I agree.
90 maybe? I don't know.
Which, but, is like, all monopoly money to us.
Correct.
Which gets back to my overarching theme. If you're a Niner fan, the enthusiasm for this season has been, and I hate using this word, but it's the only one I can come up with. I feel like my enthusiasm has been taken hostage by all of the off-field stuff, whether it's Trent and Ayuk and all that, and it's zapped my enthusiasm for this upcoming season. And I'm dying for it to come to conclusion so that we can get ourselves ready to go, round up the troops like regulators, and go. Let's go. It's go time.
Are you Denzel right now, an inside man? And who's Clive Owen in this situation?
But do you get, like,
yeah. Like, it's just a great hostage movie. I'm just saying, Spike Lee. It's an
underrated
movie.
I don't want, because I know there's real world hostage situations, and I don't want to be that guy.
No, we're not.
I don't want to, like, sound like I'm tone deaf. But the reality is that I think that a lot of 49er fans feel very similar to me, where it's like, come on, man. Like, that's literally the number one thing when I go out, people are like, come on. Like, what is going on?
Yeah.
Like, I think the Buckner thing sucked. But in retrospect, at least they ripped the Band-Aid off and did it quickly. This has been a slow, painful, like, nauseating, exhausting saga.
If he gets traded at this point, like, I'm trying to think of, like, history of the Bay Area, like, trades that, like, broke fan bases. I don't know if it would break a fan base that much. Like, you'd be hurt heading into the season if you had to trade Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, Khalil Mack, I go to, right, with the Raiders. Like, that one was just like, what, like you knew, like, it was lingering, it was lingering. And all of a sudden, right before the season starts, Labor Day weekend, I believe it was, he gets traded to the Bears. And it's just like this huge haul, and it's just like, wow, you're going into this, now it's a massive rebuild, you move off Amari Cooper the next season. It was just, the writing was on the wall. That's why this is so different, though, because the 49ers are in a championship mindset. They don't have a new coach starting.
No.
They don't want to be behind the eight ball. They don't want to start fresh. No. You want to keep players that you drafted in the first round at the end of the day. You've only been able to do that once in the Kyle Shanahan era. Once!
Incredible.
Nick Bosa!
That's incredible.
It's unbelievable.
And this is a guy that you found late in the first round.
That, honestly,
it's a great pick.
Was not on my radar when he was drafted there, because it was such a stacked wide receiver draft, Joe Shasky. Who are we talking about? We were talking about CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah.
We were talking about Justin Jefferson. Talking about Henry Ruggs. Oh, he ran a 4.43, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. Like, wow, he was so fast. I knew Mark Davis was going to take him, even though he should have taken CeeDee Lamb. And then you had who else? You got the Riegers of the world. Yeah. You had a bunch of other names. Yeah, Jalen Reagor. And then, you got this guy Brandon Ayuk, and Niners fans were pretty excited about it. And all he has been is consistent throughout his whole
career.
He's been really good. And you want to reward players like that. But the Niners dragged their feet early on in this process. So, yes, there's blame to go around in all this. But at the end of the day, they did draft a wide receiver this year in Ricky Pearsall, who they expected this season, and we're going to get to Lombardi here, who talked about how he looked at practice yesterday. Pearsall is expected to contribute this year, and it's going to be interesting. Week one, if Ayuk's not there and Pearsall is, what if Pearsall gets a touchdown? How does that affect things? What if Pearsall all of a sudden looks, wow, he just torched the Jets. Wow, he just caught a ball over Sauce Gardner.
Well, I know everybody's losing their mind about Penix and Kirk Cousins. To a lesser degree, you introduce this on the 49ers by drafting Ricky Pearsall. Mm-hmm. I think you made some tension here, and I get why they would want to, like, kind of get out in front of it, but because you didn't move Ayuk right then and there, like, all of this stuff that you're referencing is now a, like, fodder to
and
be talked
Ayuk
about.
And Ayuk and him are boys, reportedly. They were teammates, but that doesn't change anything. Like, you think Ayuk's out there if he misses week one and he's rooting for Ricky Pearsall?
No.
No chance.
No.
Sorry, I love you, Rick. I hope you don't catch anything, and I hope you fumble a ball.
These guys are competitive, and every snap you take is a snap I'm not taking.
Correct. Like, Tom Brady talked about it all the time. Jimmy Garoppolo is his backup, right? Uh-huh. Like, there needs to be a creative tension there. Like, Brett Favre famously is like, I'm not going to help Aaron Rodgers. But, like, him just being in his presence obviously helped him and stuff like that, and just watching what he does, all that sort of stuff. But Jordan Love, same thing. Aaron Rodgers talked about Jordan Love, right? He's like, I'm not here to be a mentor for this kid. Like,
I don't know. Did you hear Belichick was on with McAfee yesterday? And
we got some sound for let me see if we can find him. Carter, if you can find the sound for that, put it on my board. Thank you.
I'm looking for it.
Yeah, so it's really good. And in summation, it was something to the effect of, like, hey, you know, Brandon Ayuk is in a really good situation. He referenced other players. I think CeeDee Lamb was the other one that he referenced. He said, you're in a really good situation. You're going to be very successful. The team's going to win. You're probably looking at another extension after this one if you play your cards right. If you want to make every last dollar, it's probably not going to be there. But if you want to win and make a really good living and then have another contract down the line, like, Belichick laid it out there, and he used to say it to players as they were going on in the conversation. He said, like, well, did this ever happen with you in New England? He said, all the time. Mm-hmm. And I would tell guys, like, hey, look, if you want to make every last dollar, New England is not your place.
I think of Chandler Jones when he left to the Cardinals, right? You probably wanted to stay in New England and win another Super Bowl, right? But he left to the Cardinals and wanted to get more money.
Yeah, well, and he was running out of windows, and there's a lot of going in on that.
Now, Chandler Jones, yeah.
The synthetic weed.
You don't have to tell me. Raiders.
The synthetic weed.
They'll always have that interception, stiff arm of Mac Jones.
But, like, you know, it's I keep going back to the housing market, even though it's not an exact comp, but if you want a four-bedroom home with a huge backyard and you want the driveway and you want great public schools, and this is, you're probably not going to be able to get that.
In California. You're going to Kansas. You're going to Wichita. God love you.
Well, you've got to come off of something. You're not going to get everything that you want. And if you are, then you're going to be living in the middle of nowhere.
Correct.
Right?
We're not in Kansas anymore, Toto. Bill Belichick, to your point, here's what he had to talk about on other teams' contracts impacting his negotiations. Actually, no, let's do that one second. Let's do this one that you alluded to first. Yeah. A little more money worth a worse situation.
You know, the Ayuk situation was interesting, too. You know, here's a guy that, again, I don't know all the specifics of it, so I'm looking at it from the outside here, but didn't want to go to New England, didn't want to go to Pittsburgh. In the end, is the little more money, however much the extra money is that worth going to a team that, you know, isn't, maybe has the same opportunity to win as maybe what San Francisco does? And so I think that's kind of the, you know, and whether CeeDee Lamb's going through the same thing down there or not, I don't know. Like, Dallas is a pretty good situation, got a great quarterback, got a good team. Got a lot going for you. You know, does he want as much money as possible? Yeah, of course. But is it really worth it to go out of town to wherever and not be playing in the environment and the opportunity he has there in Dallas? So, I mean, AJ, you've been there before. You know, that's a player, you know, a decision you have to make as a player. Like, how much is it, you know, you want to try to get as much as you can from the team you want to be with. If you're already on that team, then, you know, how much is it really worth by the time you move, you know, pay your 50% tax or your millionaire's tax in New England? You got that one, too. You know, what's really the differential?
Bill Belichick yesterday on the Pat McAfee show via ESPN. So, yeah.
I mean, isn't that telling? Like, this is new. No, he's one of the greatest winners of all time. And it's easy for him to say, hey, that's up to the player to determine. But at the end of the day, it kind of is up to the player. Are you hell-bent on being... I don't even know, but like, let's just say we don't know what the specifics are. Are you hell-bent on making this exact amount of money, no matter what?
I look at Belichick, and this is one of the more underrated parts about him. You can say he's a jerk. You can say he's a prick. You can say all the stuff to the media. But he had a tremendous amount of buy-in from his players.
Absolutely.
To stay there at his price. I don't know if I can say that about Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch yet. Now, that's the greatest coach of all time, and he had the hardware to say, you know what? I can take you to the promised land and win that for you. Niners right now, they're looking at us like, I'm trying to get my money. Now, has times changed for Belichick? Now Belichick's out of the league. Are we seeing now a turning of the tide when it comes to players, whether it's in the NBA, NFL, Major League Baseball, wanting theirs and just saying, you know what, the rest of the team can figure it out. I need to get mine now. I think that's a conversation we could pick up on the other side. Plus more Belichick sound reaction. And how'd Ricky Pearsall look yesterday? Practicing for the first time in a while. First round pick out of Florida. Oh, by the way, Florida, Miami this week, I think, out in Gainesville. Sam Lubman's nervous. He's going to be down at the Swamp, and he's not going to be there. And not with that. Come on, Sam. Ugh. Carter, you're doing a hell of a job back there. But I miss Sam's just pacing back and forth. It does give him some extra juice back there. We got the great Joe Hawks back there as well. Matt Nahegan being our engineer for this morning, too. Well, we'll figure out YouTube, 888-957-9570. In the meantime, you can hit us up there, the Xfinity Mobile text line. All that and more coming up next on 95.7 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What up, what up? This is Big Pump from South City. You are now listening to The Morning Motherfucking Rose with my boys Bonte and Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
I'm afraid that it's going to have to be Jimmy Garoppolo that gets it done.
Oh, thanks, Troy and Big Pun. I love Big Pun. Getting those voice memos from him. Oh, it makes my day. Spadoni in for Bonte Hill alongside Joe Shasky, The Morning Rust. We're rolling, baby. We got Baldy. Coming up here in about 45 minutes, 7:30 every Tuesday, Brian Baldinger joins the Morning Roast Appointment Radio. And we got five burning 49ers questions that we are going to ask starting at 7:15-ish. I almost called you Bonte. Shasky and I are going to be discussing them first. We're going to ask Baldy, and then we're going to ask you, the listeners, those five questions as well at 888-957-9570. Five of the biggest questions heading into the San Francisco 49ers season, as we are less than 2 weeks away from Monday Night Football between the Jets and the 49ers, and I'm fired up. And I see this little piece of paper right here just floating around. Joe Shasky, it's the 2022 quarterback draft class. Would you like to, can I read this off for you?
Well, I mean, we know 2021 didn't go so well.
It did not. And 2022 was supposed to be really awful, too. And it kind of has turned out to be. So Kenny Pickett was the only quarterback taken in the first round in 2022.
And we all knew that was a bad pick.
The backup in Philly now. Drafted by the Steelers, but now backup in Philly. In the third round, Desmond Ridder, Atlanta Falcons, drafted him.
Not very good.
He's now a third stringer with the Cardinals.
Yeah.
In the third round as well, Malik Willis of the Tennessee Titans.
He's actually a really good runner, but can't throw.
Traded to Green Bay yesterday for a seventh-round pick, so he's now the backup to Jordan Love.
I bet LaFleur makes him better than what he was in Tennessee.
Or if he has to spot start or something like that. He can give him a couple years
with LaFleur.
He can win you a game.
Yeah.
And that's all you ask for a backup. Another third-round pick, Matt Corral, however you want to pronounce it. It doesn't matter.
I think it's Corral.
Because he stinks, so I don't care how to pronounce it. Yeah. Panthers drafted him, and he was cut yesterday by the Vikings.
Yeah, I watched a whole doc on Wyatt Earp and the OK Corral. The movies have it wrong. That's all I'm going to say. Netflix, six-episode series about Wyatt Earp and the OK Corral.
They didn't
check it
look
out.
Like
awesome.
Kurt Russell and Val Kilmer.
Tombstone. There was a city named Tombstone. It wasn't as vile as everyone. It actually had a lot of money because they were silver mining. Oh. Anyway, point being, OK Corral is not what it was made up to be.
Okay.
Only a couple people died.
OK Matt Corral gets cut. Fourth round, Bailey Zappi, Patriots.
Yeah, he's terrible.
He's expected to get cut. Fifth round, Sam Howell, Washington Commanders.
Not
he's
good.
Now back up in Seattle. I always kind of like Sam Howell. I don't know what it is about him. Like, he just takes too many sacks.
It's like me and Tyler Heineke.
Yeah, something like him.
I get a kick out of
Taylor Heineke. Exactly. Yes, you really like him.
Thanks, Rogers, brother.
And then he had 3 seventh-round quarterbacks taken in that seventh round in 2022 of the draft class. Chris Aludikin.
Okay, yeah, sure.
Third stringer in KC now. He was drafted by the Steelers. Skylar Thompson is the only one.
Wow.
Only other one to stay on his current team that was drafted in that 2022 quarterback draft class. So he's staying.
Horrible playoff game.
He did. He's staying in Miami, though, backing up Tua. And then after that, Brock Purdy with the San Francisco 49ers. Just to say, it's a crapshoot.
Yeah.
This stuff really, like, the last pick in the 2022 NFL draft, Brock Purdy, is probably going to make $300 million next year, and the rest of these guys are going to make peanuts.
Did you watch the Hard Knocks when Brian Daboll and Joe Shane were going through just the numbers of, like, who's hit, who hasn't at first-round quarterbacks?
Yes.
It was interesting because it's the exact same hit rate of all the other positions.
But we microscope it in a way where it's just like, oh, if you fail on this one, it's just going to set you back to just this many years. Because it is the most important position, though. Like, you'd like to think that you could be a little bit better evaluating quarterbacks than, like, a punter or something, right? But you just, it's a crapshoot.
Well,
like, really being in the playoffs, it's a crapshoot.
Well, I just think the draft is a crapshoot, like, in general. Whether it's positional, first round, fifth round, like, it's just all over the place. Like, 33% hit rate, you're really good at your job.
Yes.
As a GM.
I always say, if, like, I could find one player in every draft that I'm extending for, like, two contracts, that was a great draft.
Two contracts? That's unbelievable. Yeah,
like, just one player, I'm saying. Just one, right?
So, for example, let's go to Mike McGlinchey, right? The Niners drafted Mike McGlinchey 10th overall.
Right before the Raiders drafted Colton Miller, who's gotten two contracts, I think, by the Raiders.
Right? Yeah. And he was a starter for essentially 5 years.
Yeah. And he was... He didn't live up to the hype, right?
He walked in free agency.
Yes.
Was that a good pick or a bad pick?
Bad is strong, but it was not great. It was decent.
Right. Because
you got production out of him. You got to a Super Bowl, right?
That would be considered a hit. He started for you for 5 years, right? And I like struggle with, like, I don't think that's a hit.
No.
But you get where I'm going with this.
I get what you're going.
And so what I'm saying is
on a curve, kind of. Yeah.
Right? Like, now do the same exercise with the quarterbacks, and you realize, like, yeah, like, most of these guys, especially after the first round, like Trey Lance, for example, we're just talking about, you know, I'm walking in, Trey Lance had one of the worst days you could have as a quarterback in the preseason, right? He had 5 turnovers or 6 turnovers, whatever it was.
It was not good.
Exactly. But you know what? Like, Yeah, Kenny Pickett can't play either, and Mac Jones really isn't that good. Now, there's degrees of who can play and who can't, and,
yes,
and this, that, and the other. At the end of the day, those are misses.
Yeah,
it's not about degrees of hits. Either you hit or you didn't. And I look at someone like Trevor Lawrence, and they've extended him, and I'm still kind of wishy-washy on whether that's a hit or not.
I think they're still paying him based on hype, right? Like, a little bit has to be, like, you're projecting that he's like, oh, with all contracts, you're projecting as well. But, like, he was the number one overall pick. He was, you know, the greatest quarterback prospect since Andrew Luck, they were saying.
Yes.
He won as a freshman. He's been this highly touted guy his entire career. And I like Trevor Lawrence because he'll show you in every game, like, God, he'll just the touch, the athleticism. But then he'll have plays like against the Niners last year coming off a bye. You just didn't know what was he doing out there. He was just getting destroyed.
Are you saying he's Andrew Wiggins, where he tantalizes you a little here and there?
K-Wig? That's actually not a horrible comp.
You like
it's
that,
It's actually
huh?
not a horrible comp. I'll say Trevor Lawrence has meant more to his teams than Andrew. Like, Andrew Wiggins was the second best player on a championship team.
Uh-huh.
I think being a quarterback in the NFL is a lot harder than what Andrew Wiggins had to
agree.
Do, especially for a horrible franchise that the Jacksonville Jaguars, coming off of having Urban Meyer, the worst head coach in the history of the NFL, your first year. Yeah, I think Trevor's done a pretty good job given expectations so far.
Yes.
But he's getting paid now, and we're going to have to see it more and more.
No, but you brought up all those quarterbacks, and let's go to
I like that comp, by the way.
You do, don't you?
I like the Andrew Wiggins comp.
Because number one overall pick.
Yes.
Right? And it's kind of like tantalizes you, but then leaves a lot to be desired. Wide receivers. Like, we talk a lot about, man, this draft class is loaded. Right? We do this all the time. Mm-hmm. Pick any position, but I'm going to go wide receivers, 2021. And this was a great draft for wide receivers. Ja'Marr Chase, fifth overall pick. Grand slam.
Yes.
Right? Jalen Waddle, sixth. It's been really good.
Damn good player.
I'd say it's a home run. Like, yes. they had a home run. Like, if you draft him six overall, you get that prediction.
He does get hurt a lot, but yes. Yeah.
He's been really good.
Yeah.
Right? Devontae Smith, been really good.
Yeah.
Right? Kadarius Toney.
He won a Super Bowl. Couple of them,
Kadarius
right?
Kadarius Toney's not good. He's been on a zillion teams, it feels like.
He has been, but he
come on. As a first round pick, that's been a miss.
Yes, because of the Giants drafted him, right? I'm thinking of him as a Chief.
Yes.
So yes, that's why. Yes.
Rashad Bateman.
No.
Yeah, it's a miss. Yeah. Okay? Like, Elijah Moore went in that draft. Rondale Moore. Like,
I still like Elijah
Eskins,
Moore.
Eskins, Tutu Atwell, Terrence Marshall. I'm just giving you the top 10 guys that are selected at a wide receiver in this draft.
Yeah, not great. Not great.
So my point being is everyone brings up the quarterbacks, the hit rates, the measure. It's every position. It's just every single position. Yeah. It's a 33% hit rate, give or take. And if you're 33%, you're good.
Join 95.7 The Game at Harding Park Friday, September 6th. Joe Shasky for the Pettinelli Financial Partners Golf Tournament. Are you going to be there, by the way? You're going to be hanging out?
Yeah.
Awesome.
I don't know how late I'll be able to stay. I'm going to do the best I can. You get to a certain point and got to get going home. I'm up at 3:30.
Unless
you're my wife this morning, you bring the baby into the room at 2 o'clock.
Hey, don't dump on the lovely Michelle. She's recovering,
okay? I had to walk out like a ninja. Turn the lights off. And then the baby gets up like it's like a zombie. You're walking through the zombie apocalypse and like one of the zombies comes up off the ground and like the head turns at you like it's like a skull.
Yeah,
that's literally what my child does.
Every morning. I scooter past them.
It's the worst.
Go to 957thegame.com to learn more. Presented by ATCO Pest Control, the Bay Area's locally family owned pest control company. Can't wait for that. The Pettinelli Financial Partners Golf Tournament. Benefiting the Autism Society, San Francisco Bay Area. And this segment was brought to you by Golden State Lumber, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Joe Shasky, visit goldenstatelumber.com. Enjoy that draft conversation. We can get back into it at some point. Maybe ask Baldy about that. Just evaluating quarterbacks, because I do love picking Baldy's brain about just... You watch all these guys every Saturday. We're all watching them. We're all just diehard. Like, because the most popular sport is the NFL, the most popular brand. And right behind that is college football. Like, we're all going to be watching it.
Without a doubt.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Maxion.
31 games Thursday.
Oh, my God. We're going to be locked in. We're going to be dialed in.
31.
Yes. Oh, did I hit something on this? It's the second best sport.
In terms of most, like, the audience that it draws, it's the second highest rated sport.
And it's, we can't get enough of it. And now they got the expanded playoff.
Ugh.
And with that expanded playoff, we're going to be seeing a lot more quarterbacks maybe that we haven't seen before. And we're going to be dissecting them more. Like, I feel like we're in an age, is what I'm getting at, Joe Shasky, where we have all this information, the pro football focuses, we have everything. And yet, why does it feel like evaluating quarterbacks is the same from like 1975? Why does it feel like it's the same and we still can't do it?
Terry Bradshaw, that Pittsburgh Steelers never saw him play a game live.
At La Tech?
Before drafting him.
That's actually pretty insane. They never saw him.
That's the rumor. That was the whole story. They had never, no one from the organization had ever really seen him play a game.
That's unbelievable.
But again, that was like the late 60s, early 70s.
But that's still kind of like you're basing off hype of like Caleb Williams. I'm sure the Bears did their homework and stuff like that.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.